now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mega News Nation Thursday night roundtable with the Christian Hughes, myself, William Bernard, Bruce Spragas, and Russell Hood. And tonight we have a very special guest, Mr. Gibson from New York, who is running for governor. We're going to be talking with him and stuff here in a little bit and then everything. So, how are you, Virgil? Are you there, Virgil? Hello, Mr. Gibson. Are you there?
Let me get my headset. I was hooking up my headset.
I thought maybe I might have tech problems again. So, but anyway, got Mr. Derek Gibson, all the way from New York, who is joining us on the show, and he is a good friend. I've known him for a while, and everything. He is Diamond and Gibson's daughter or father, and who's actually an interning up in Washington, D.C. for Congress and everything. So we're going to help jumpstart his campaign up there and everything. We're very proud of that. So, Mr. Gibson, how are you doing? And welcome to the show.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Mr. Gibson. I got him on. Hello, Mr. Gibson. Can you hear me? He might have his phone on mute. I bet you he's got his phone on mute still. But
he's running for governor of New York, huh?
Yes, he is running for governor of New York, and he's a huge Trump supporter and everything. I'll give you a little bit of background about him. And he's actually attended several rallies. I met him up in Atlanta and everything. He was supporting us up there and stuff. So it's kind of a small world, ain't it? When you meet people you really don't know, and then you find out later they're running for office, and everything. And last night, one of my friends, DJ Wiggins, is his brother-in-law, was photobombed on Trump, one of Trump's campaign rally last night, and everything. So I was very kind of surprised because he was holding a baby up in the air, and with a Q emblem on the back of the shirt. So I found out it was DJ in the photo. So what are the odds of that? You know, and everything. So can you hear me, Mr. Gibson? Hello, Mr. Gibson. Hello. So, anyway, Virgil, tell me, what do you think about everything that's been going on in the last couple of days? I tell you, this is funny stuff going on.
I can tell you this. They call them the squad, but I'm going to call them what they really are, the four whores. Okay. They're milking this, if you don't love it, leave it, on all four tits. Okay.
Right.
Now, let's be perfectly clear, people. Let's let the record straight. The United States of America does not have a demilitarized zone.
Right.
You do not have to crawl through a landmine, through minefields,
right,
through barbed wire, and dodge machine gun fire if you want to leave our country, like in North Korea. Okay? If you want to leave our country, you go to the cruise line, Greyhound bus, United American Airlines, or Southwest. You buy your ticket, and you take your happy ass somewhere else.
Exactly. You know, and the funny part is, Virgil, he never called him out by name. He never mentioned no names whatsoever.
Well, the thing is, they just like, and these people have no business calling President Donald Trump, a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number one, okay, from the day this man announced his candidacy for the presidency of the United States, this man and his, not only, I can understand him, but to bully, threaten, and try to manipulate and belittle and just degrade members of his family that have no part in this. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Well,
is not the word for it for these people. These people
say,
are just they're parasites.
Well, not only that, Virgil, but it's, you know, disgusting doesn't describe what they are. I mean, he called him out and they answered, but he didn't call him by name. You know, but the thing is, are they guilty about something or what? You know, and everything. But what I want to know is, how in the hell did they ever get elected in the first place? You know, that's what I want. We got Mr. Gibson back again. Let me see if we can get him in here. Hi, Mr. Gibson. Can you hear me now? Hello? He said he might be having problems with his phone. So he said he can hear us, but we can't talk. So, but, you know, we'll try to get him back in again here in a little bit. But, you know, this whole thing is a three-ring circus. And, you know, where the hell did this squad came from? Was I asleep or what? I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea where this raghead Muslim savage and the rest of these four four whore squad is basically is what I call them, and especially there's one that's always waving the Palestinian flag. I can't say the name. I just call it tuberculosis, and you know, and because that's about what she is. She's about as useful as tuberculosis. And
you know, well, they try to get her to renounce, you know, the Taliban and all that, and she won't do it. They've tried to get her to, you know, she is so anti-Israel, so anti-America. She's the one that actually poses a threat, you know, and her to our country. And it's just, I'm just surprised she's still in holding office. That's I'm just amazed, you know. This can get Mr. Gibson back. Hey, Mr. Gibson.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you. How you doing, my friend?
I don't know what's up with that, man.
Right. Well, welcome to Meganese Nation. And I'm glad to hear from you again and everything. The last time I saw you was in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was just telling our audience a little bit about you and everything and about Diamond and stuff. We had Diamond on our show not too long ago. And we were trying to encourage her and everything and stuff. So, you know, I'm glad to see you all out there supporting our country and stuff. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and Virgil and everything? Because I know I've already told them you're running for governor, but what are your plans? I mean, what's your plans for New York?
Yeah, I heard y'all were listening in, so yeah, I like the introduction you gave me. I was trying to say something, and the connection was very bad. I was like, wow, my God, I don't want me on the show.
Right. right.
Yes. I am Derek Gibson, New York City. I live in New York City, and I was born here in New York City, in Jamaica, Queens, and I moved at an early age to Georgia. So I was raised as a good old country boy, so I like the hunting, the fishing, and all that good stuff, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but,
so what are your future plans for New York once you become governor? I mean, you're going to have a big tackle on your hands because, you know, for a lot of years it's been run by the mob and this, you know, stuff.
Correct.
What changes are you planning to make?
Correct. And it's still being ran by the mob. You know, the Cuomo is a monopoly. You know, they have a monopoly on New York City.
Right.
But I'm here to break that, and I got some great plans. What I'm going to do is announce next month that I'm running out in the public, file the paperwork. And from there, you know, I am a no PC guy. You know, we real political correct up here in New York, but I am not that guy.
Right. Same here.
Yeah.
Right. We're the same way on this show. We're not politically correct, so you can say anything you want, you know. But,
you know,
I agree.
Yeah, we some racist ass honkies.
I like that. And I'm a good old Cullis boy.
Right. Yeah, you know, but what's funny is that, you know, we're seeing the direction New York is going into, and it's like these people don't realize that, you know, they're destroying themselves in that city, you know, and the governor there and the governor in California, you know, to me, it's like all they're doing, that's what they're doing is trying to destroy the city. And, you know, we're seeing that here in New Mexico as well. You know, so it's happening here in New Mexico, believe it or not. And
well, they've
so
done a good job at it. All the liberal governors are doing a great job at destroying the city. So that's what made me.
Right.
I've been into politics for quite some time. I supported the first Bush, the second Bush. And, you know, they didn't give me too much, but I supported them. I was raised as a conservative, and I have always had conservative views. I'm raised as a Republican, but my plans for New York is to turn it completely around, flip it up on its upside down head, because all the businesses are leaving here. So I have a tax cut plan that I have in effect for New York. That's a real good plan. I don't want to put too much out too early, but I got an amazing tax plan that will fit New York just right. I'm going to slash the taxes probably in most likely in half. And the city will still operate like it need to be operated, because I'm going in, I'm cutting lavish spending from the both parties. I'm going to cut lavish spending.
Mm-hmm.
And I just so many things that a great opportunity to do stuff to get this city back. I'm planning on balancing the budget.
Well,
you know, number one, I'm going to – go ahead.
I was going to say, what about, you know, the damage that AOC has done over there by running away the big businesses? Are you going to try to get them to come back or –
Correct. That's what my tax plan is going to get business to come back here. My cutting the tax is going to get business to come back here. We're going to welcome business, not run business away. You know, even the tax plan that Amazon that she ran away would have brought millions and millions of dollars to the city, even though the tax cut was like $3 million.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it was. But it really wasn't in money. That's what she didn't understand. She don't understand economics. She's an economic major. It wasn't in money. It was incentives. And it would have built a community. It would have built a community around the place, and brought several more jobs and high paying jobs in around, because it would have built an entire community.
Right.
But my
the main reason AOC, she was under orders to do that, because when business comes in, when business is open, just like here in Louisiana, okay, we're fixing to give this governor we got the boot to, John Bel Edwards, okay, when businesses come in, you see, that takes away people's dependency on the government because they become self-sufficient.
Correct.
And Democrats do not want, especially in the black community, because I'm going to tell you something. Republicans, Democrats, you know, the black vote controls who goes to the White House. People don't want to realize that.
Correct.
It is the black vote. And that is why, when J. Edgar Hoover saw the movement with Martin Luther King, how the blacks got behind him, that's when he decided to destroy the black family and to divide this country on racial issues.
He did a good job at it. That's what he did, and it helped last it for a long time. But his generation coming up now, the younger generation, they're not hearing not one minute of it. The younger generation now?
Because we have no education system in this country anymore, sir. We have indoctrination centers. And AOC is a product, a number one poster child for indoctrination.
Yeah. But she's going down in flames. She won't go a second term. She's going down in flames. Got some good people challenging her, and she's not going to. Crowley just slept on it. The only reason she won that time, because he didn't think it was like the rest of them in New York. They don't think they have to campaign as hard as they do, because there is no liberty. We got this. So that's the attitude, and that's how Crowley
The media portrays, you know, you live up in New York. You know, we're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth. The media, all the media blitz, including Fox News now, has the entire country believing that the entire state of New York hates Donald Trump's guts.
Correct.
But it's not factual. Okay. No. What would you say going into this? You know, you're diving into the snake pit, brother. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to New York, you're diving into the snake pit.
Correct.
Okay. I hope you don't have anything questionable in your past, because they're going to bring it up and they're going to capitalize on it. Percentage-wise, you know, 60-40, 70-30, what do you see the real Donald Trump numbers at in New York City?
I see Trump. Well, I would put it like this. In the rural areas, he got that sold up. It's just the city itself, New York City, because it's like 20 million people in the city. So, therefore, it's a very liberal city. In the city, I would say, in the boroughs, I would say he got about 30% maybe of the people in the boroughs. But if you add the rural areas to that, it'll be like 60-40 maybe. But all that can change, because the issue we have here is illegals voting in our elections. And that's how Democrats continue to win. That's how they continue to win, because they got illegals voting in the election. And that's factual. I observed it. They have stuff balanced and all. I observed all of that, and I made a report out about it. But, of course, you know, it's not going anywhere. But
right,
my plan is to register. My plan is between now and the government's ready to register at least 5 million people, which is possible, because I'm going for the young people that would be in the 10th grade now, and they'll be eligible to vote during the election, and they thought process is totally different, so it's possible. My thing is to put voter registration tables at each school and have people demand those, and we're going to sign up conservatives and Republicans. New York can turn red. You know, it was red before, before we started importing all these illegals. Now that we got all these illegals, they have them voting our election, and that's causing the problem like that.
The question I would put forth throughout the crowd, and I would keep singing it and singing it and singing it until the final ballot is cast in the governor's race. Okay. Tell anyone to name one thing that President Barack Hussein Obama did to offer incentive to any American or anyone to better themselves.
That's right, nothing. Zero. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was going to ask too, once you're in office, if you win, are you going to change the voting laws? Are you going to for the
that is
you know?
All that is in my platform. It's going to be mandatory voter ID. It's mandatory. All that is in my platform. I have all that.
Okay.
All right, good.
Okay. Now, if you're going to do that, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to, on national television, you're going to have to walk down, as a black man, you're going to have to walk down to the Office of Motor Vehicles and renew your driver's license on national TV to prove that black people do know where the Department of Motor Vehicles is. Because that is the number one argument of these socialist liberal dickheads, that voter ID laws are racist because black people don't know where the motor vehicle offices are.
And they can't afford and they can't afford an ID.
Yep. Well, one of the things I can say, you know, I have good friends up here in New York too. I've been watching their lives, including Diamonds, when you guys were doing your live feeds and stuff. I can see New York flipping red. I can see it.
Yeah.
Like I see it here in New Mexico. New Mexico has been a blue state for 30 years, you know, but it's going to flip red, I believe, and everything. But one of the other things is, you know, with all the Muslims down there and everything, I don't want to sound racist or anything, but with all the ongoings going on down there, are they going to make any changes with that? Or if you don't want to
change
it
with what?
Are you going to, with the Muslims doing what they're doing to the state down there in New York, are you going to put some sort of law to where they can't practice their Sharia law down there or anything like that? Or?
Oh, correct. You know, I'm 100% against Sharia law. It's not compatible with our Constitution, so I would definitely stand strong against that. But I'm not going to down anyone's faith. I am a Judeo-Christian guy, you know, and I believe the country was built on those values, so I'm going to uphold those
right.
values. But I'm going to take the government regulation out of the faith-based community, you know, in their schools and all that, trying to push homosexual agendas into schools and all that. So, yeah,
right.
I'm going to do that, but as far as the Muslim faith,
a lot of the Muslims there, you know, is not going to support you and stuff. I was just thinking about that, but I know there's some that probably will too, because there's some that are true Americans and some that aren't. You know, they're kind of mixed, you know. And
I'd like for anyone to show me a quote where President Trump said that Muslims are not going to convert to Christianity. All Muslims should be put in chains. Like Omar said about white men.
Yeah, for real.
You know, white men will now, and they got the nerve enough to call our president a racist after making that kind of statement.
Exactly. They don't want him to get back. But you know, one thing about it, our nation is so full of sin. Like the good Lord say, you know, he will break your will. You won't even be able to protect your nation because you're sinning so much in your will, man. But he'll allow your enemies to take over. And I see that in Congress. They are afraid to kick back on Islam. No matter what they say, they're afraid to criticize that. So their will been broken. That's why they got to be out of office. And
right.
I admire President Trump for standing up for
this country. Your first job building legislation in New York is to contract and get the money to build the world's biggest toilet, like the size of a Superdome, then start tearing down the United Nations and flush that piece of shit out of the whole entire country.
Yeah, it needs to be in the East River. It has no business in New York. It has no business in America.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask that, Roger. I'm glad you asked that. That was one of my next questions I was going to ask. What about the UN? You know, are we going to try to kick them out or?
Well, you know, that's a federal thing. We won't be able to kick them out. You know, they don't have the balls to kick them out. They need. But you know, President Trump touched on that a little bit. You know, because they are basically irrelevant and they don't represent our views. They represent the views of, you know, the Middle East people. They don't represent the United States.
You see, the problem, the main problem with the United Nations one of the biggest problems with the United Nations is the United States practices and lets them get away with all kind of shit under the clause of diplomatic immunity. They can rob, rape, steal, drunk drive, do anything, and they can't get charged, they can't get a ticket, they can't get anything. They get away with it free, and that shit needs to change, period.
But it's going to take a constitutional amendment to change stuff like that.
Right, right. So
nothing the state can do.
Right. So when are you going to officially start your campaign? Are you going to start? Is it next month from what I heard that you're going to start it? Or
I'm going to officially start in August.
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to help you out as much as we can. We'll give you as much exposure on the show and everything, and you're welcome to call. And we'll do some live feeds every now and then, too, and stuff. And everything. So do you got any plans for Diamond once she gets ahead with what she's doing? Are you going to let her?
Diamond actually wanted to run for Congress, but she changed her mind here this week. She changed her mind because she said all the dirt. You know, she was up there in Congress now. She see all the dirt and everything that's going on. She said it's disgusting that she really don't want to be a part of it. I was trying to convince her. I was like, somebody got to do it and try to change, you know. Something got to change it. But Diamond could have won her seat easily if she was to run.
Right. Oh, I know she would, you know. And we just need to keep encouraging her and everything. And that's one of the things I liked about
Diamond.
Well,
I can tell you what'll get Diamond elected in a heartbeat in a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
When Omar is walking from office to office, office to Capitol building, just have her jump on her and beat the shit out of her on national TV. She will become a national celebrity, and everybody in the country will vote for her.
right. But I've always believed that Diamond, you know, there's something special about her that we all saw in her when we first met her and everything, and had her on the show. And me and Ann believe that, you know, that's what she's destined for. Something in D.C. She's destined for that.
Correct.
And everything. So I'm going to try to get her to come on the show pretty soon. But
what I want to do right now is I want to touch on a subject that it's going to come up. It's going to come up in your campaign. Okay. This talk about reparations.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. I was just discussing that last night.
Okay.
My point is, somebody in Louisiana asked me this last night about how I felt about reparations. I said, first of all, I don't give a damn about reparations.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, no white man in America owned a slave. No black man in America ever been a slave. So who owes who? How you figure out who you're going to pay and what's going to happen? Who's going to get this money, that money, whatever? And the nation all mixed up from black people all over the world. The only thing I care about is having an opportunity, like President Trump is doing, create an opportunity for me and my children to grab a piece of the American dream. That is reparation enough, because the reparation that has been given to the black community has destroyed it. Food stamps, welfare, housing, and have them work out so well. So those are reparation, and it didn't work out well. So I don't want
the best. The best reparation that you can offer your state as governor is to reinstate the vocational training programs in the public schools.
Are you reading off my platform? Because that's on my platform. Did somebody give you my platform? Because all of that, all you've been talking about is on my platform. Because that is the way to go.
When I was young, and Russell was young, and Joseph was young, if he was ever young. I think he's Area 51 material, but anyway. Okay. But when you left out of high school, if you didn't have plans to go to college or whatever, okay, and you were in the vocational, you could come out as a certified welder, a German electrician, a plumber,
and make
a small engine, a small engine repair mechanic. You can make and you could go to work right away. You had a job waiting for you.
Exactly.
Waiting
and
for
make
you.
More money than a college educated person.
Right, and I did go to vocational school. In fact, I learned how to. I learned sheet metal. I learned to do sheet metal and welding. How did y'all actually?
I mean, right now, right now, sir, right now, sir, the way I work, I'm a truck driver, okay? Right now, the over-the-road trucking industry is 80,000 drivers short.
Mm-hmm.
80,000 drivers.
Isn't that something?
We're 80,000 drivers short. In the bulk division, then the liquid tanker division, which you have to have 2 years verifiable experience and hazmat, excuse me, okay, we take up 40% of that 80,000 shortage.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell everybody something about tanker drivers rather than van drivers. Okay, van drivers get paid by the mile. They get paid cents per mile. Tanker drivers get paid a percentage commission. So if you own your own rig, if you own your own truck, you know, you can make 70% of what that load pays.
Wow.
70%, and some of these loads pay $5,000-$6,000.
Mm-hmm. Not in California, though. They'll tax you to death.
That's great.
So that's the other thing I was going to bring up, too. In New York City and everything, what other changes are you going to make? I mean, what other laws do you think would be good to put in place there?
I'm going to protect the Second Amendment because, you know, I'm a strong believer in it. And what I'm going to do is untie the hand of the police and I'm going to allow this, strike the law down so in no carry. You know, we don't have a carry. If I'm going to enact a carry law because people can't protect themselves. So I'm going to do that, and I'm going to remove the gun free zone from the school system so the teachers, parents, whoever can protect the children, you know.
Right.
Without guns, they can't protect the children. The bad guy just come in.
Right.
So I want to install metal detectors in every public school also. I'm going to do that.
Oh, that's a good move.
I'm going to privatize state business because we're spending too much money. We need tunnels, new tunnels, and everything. I'm going to privatize it, and it's going to be competitive with the unions and private business so they can compete for the business instead of just giving it all to the union.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
What about
I would like for you to ask the New York State Department of Transportation why I can't cross the George Washington Bridge unless I have a little 2-inch sticker on my bumper with NY on it.
They don't want you here. You're conservative.
Right.
Speaking of transportation, I'm going to form a commission. I don't know what you heard of the Hyperloop system. The Hyperloop system briefly is a high speed system that can get you maybe from New York City to Louisiana in about 20 or 30 minutes. So if we can get that enacted and start on that, that will be something great because the cost of living is too high to live in this city, and we need people with brilliant minds and skills to come here and work. That way you could come to the city and work and be back home in time for dinner and will be no problem. But the Hyperloop is something that is reality and it's coming fast. So I would love to form a commission and try to enact that and it would just do well in the cities, in all the cities.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and not only that, it create a lot of work and a lot of jobs as well.
Yeah, correct.
You know,
correct.
You know
correct.
And everything. And also, I know again, I'm going to sound racist with this, but what about these no-go zones these Muslims have? Are you going to try to do away with those too?
I've been fighting that already, you know, no-go zone. I was in the no-go zone with a big Trump flag, and they're talking about, I got a question for you. Why would you come in the Muslim community with that? I said, the last time I checked, this was America. It's no such thing as why should I come in the Muslim zone?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Right.
That's what I told him. I said, this is America. Wherever I put my feet, I'm welcome. Wherever, this is America. And then I had the same issue with the gay community. Why would you come in Chester Pierce and this gay folks on the Trump? Like I was like, the last time I checked, this is America. I can go wherever I want to. I can support who I want. I mean, I give them hell up here. You know, I straight give them hell. Mm-hmm. I'm straight talking.
Yeah. Well, I've seen your live feeds. Believe me, I know you do. You know.
Yeah,
but,
I'm straight talk.
You know,
you see, I have no problem. I have no problem. You know, you want to be a Muslim, be a Muslim. You want
to
get out on your porch at the middle of the day,
exactly.
You know, scream like an idiot, bow, you know,
exactly.
That's up to you. You know,
exactly.
If you want to be gay, that's fine with me. I don't have any problem with it.
Exactly.
You know, I tell people I've been a lesbian trapped in a man's body for 56 years, so.
Love women.
So.
Yeah.
So, you know, if doing your thing, you know, but don't try to force it on my adolescent grandchildren in a public school.
Keep what you do in your bedroom, and I'm fine with it. But do not bring it out in public. Keep it in the bedroom. Don't try to push it on me.
Right. Now, bringing that up, what about all this indoctrination that the LGBTQ committee is trying to do to these kids, like with the story to drag queens and all this and that? I mean, we're seeing that everywhere.
But, you know, I touched on that earlier. I said that I would take the government out of the faith-based and the public schools, and they would be out of that. We're not going to be forcing agendas down nobody's throat, so that clears all that out. That clears it out, because we got them right now going in the libraries, coming in the schools, put on makeup, all that. Yeah, it's in New York right here. My son.
That's here in New Mexico.
It's not only in New York. It's not only in New York. Have you ever been down to New Orleans? Have you ever been down to New Orleans?
A couple of times, years ago.
Going to public school system in New Orleans.
Wow. Unbelievable. Bad.
Yep. That's wow. But you know, that's one of the other things, you know, that needs to be changed too, is the, you know, the indoctrination programs they have in these schools and stuff that needs to be cut out, you know, and stuff. And I know that once we get this governor in New Mexico out, I think our state's going to flip red after all this crap, you know, and stuff. But I've been helping my friend Cody Griffin. He's going to be running for office again. Up in Otero, he's the one that was for Cowboys for Trump that was up there in Atlanta, and everything. And him and I are good friends and stuff. But you know, we're just gonna encourage you and push you as much as we can and help you out and everything. And then you know, you got my full support, and you know, I know your whole family pretty well. And I was amazed that DJ is DJ your brother-in-law or brother or?
Yeah, that's my brother.
Your brother. I thought so. So I was kind of surprised because he was Virgil doesn't know this, but last night he was at the Trump rally, and he was in a photo that the media took, and I was like, "Is that DJ?" Because he was holding a baby up in the air, and I was like, "Yep, that's DJ." You know, what are the odds in that? You know, and he was just here. He spent the week with me over here, and.
I'm glad you brought that up, Joseph, because I have a question for this man. As governor of the state of New York, what the hell are you going to do about these Antifa punks?
Don't make me say nothing on the air about Antifa, because I'm going to put it like this. We was in D.C. During the 4th of July weekend, and it didn't go too well for them. That's as far as I go with that.
Hey, we got a caller, so let me bring this caller on. I think they want to ask you some questions. So,
sure.
Hey, caller, how you doing? Welcome to the show. 917, can you hear me?
I'm sorry, I was trying to call into the show, but to listen, and I'm a friend of Derek's, and I'm supporting him.
Hey, how are you doing? And thank you.
What is your name, darling? What is your name?
My name is Lana, and I'm from Brooklyn.
So, okay,
oh,
I got
Brooklyn,
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York, yes. Brooklyn, New York, and Derek is a great guy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know that. And, you know, I was just saying a while ago that we're going to encourage him and push him as much as we can on the show and give him a lot of airtime. Is there anything you'd like to say to him and to our audience out here while we got you on the air?
Well, I guess I just want to hear his platform for New York, what he wants to do.
We're covered a lot of ground. So one of the things I got, what about the New York Police Department? What are you going to do about that? I know that's the mayor's job, but are you going to overhaul the police department there? Because I got a good friend of mine that's an ex-police officer, and he was trying to bring the corruption down. I think he went in deep hiding because we hadn't heard from him in a while. But he was trying to bring down the corruption and stuff, and it's so bad over there and everything. Is there any kind of overhaul in that department that you're going to try to do? Or?
Hi, my friend from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, Derek.
Yeah, and on the the police concern, I think I went over earlier. I told you I was going to untie their hands. And I'm going to raise the police pay. They should be at least one of the highest paid city employees with starting pay. So that's something I'm very much into. I am in law enforcement myself. I am a criminal justice major. So I will be definitely dealing with that. That's first on my plate also. Because you never
know. You see the problem.
The police officer.
You see the problem. The problem with corruption.
Right.
The problem with public corruption, when you talk about your municipal employees like city police, fire, maintenance workers, and all of this, the standard of living in New York is unbelievable.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
It is. I was down there about 20 years ago. I was shocked. I was very shocked, you know.
I mean, I have never heard of paying $3,000 a month for a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yep.
Then you gotta that is just unbelievable.
Then you got to have a $1,500 deposit just to turn on the lights.
No, and you got to make.
That's if you can find an apartment. That's if you can find. Sometimes you put on a 2-year waiting list to get an apartment in New York City.
And you have to make at least 40 times the monthly rent in order to qualify for these apartments.
And God forbid, you know, there have been people killed behind getting these apart in these rent control, what they call rent controlled buildings and all of that. They'll murder each other.
But you know, the issue is corporate owns everything. You know, they own everything. It's not any private owners anymore. Very, very few. And that's why the price is up. Sorry, they don't care about their tenants or nobody. It's just next. Okay, next. We don't care. If you don't want to pay $5,000, next, because they're a big company. They don't really need the money. So they put strict guidelines in place. And that's what's happening in New York.
Are you going to try to do something, put a special program in place to where the, you know, where it could be affordable? Or
the only thing you can do about that corporate interest is put fees and more fees on them until you bring them into compliance. That's the only way to do it, because you know it's nothing. I can't say, well, you can't do this, you can't rent your apartment for that, but I can put this kind of fee, that kind of fee, I can enact all of that, and that will get their attention. That will bring their attention. New York has so many homeless people, it's ridiculous. And not only that, the ones on the street, we have people in shelters everywhere, because people make $80,000, you know, a year, but they can't afford an apartment. So they stand in shelters. It's sad. It's ridiculous. And we paying the shelters $200,000 and $300,000 a year just to house people, when we could buy, actually, in my plans, could buy some property. Buy some apartment, be able to fix them up, and let those people stay in there, help them get jobs, help them get out of jobs or whatever, and let them play low rent. We could do that instead of paying.
What about a mini home project like we're doing here in New Mexico? Because I'm trying to get involved with that and buy some land up here and do start a project, you know, mini homes. Do you think that would go well there in New York? Or?
Well, not in New York City, because it's so congested and property values are high as a giraffe's asshole.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's
impossible. It'll be impossible.
Yeah.
In New York is impossible. What we have to do is for instance, we got the HUD buildings,
mm-hmm.
and they fill up with illegals. They need to be put out of those buildings, and those buildings need to be privatized. They need to be ran by a private company. If you let that be ran by a private company, it'll work a lot better, and it'll take people off the street.
Right, right. So,
okay, as governor of New York, bringing up the illegal problem, would you make it an executive order that all law enforcement agencies within the borders of the state of New York allow ICE into their databases?
Well, I already went over that. I would allow them to do what they need to do, but I would direct my officers. Now their hands are tied, like I spoke earlier. They can't ask. If you commit a crime or whatever, I cannot ask whether you are a citizen or not. That's due to the governor and the mayor. So I would take all that off, and I would start cleaning New York up, and I will not support, and I'm going to campaign on this out loud in public. I will not support not even one illegal. And if I find any business that is hiring these illegals, they are going to be greatly fined, because I don't need the citizens to have these jobs, not illegals.
Okay, right. So, Derek, I have a question. How are you going to make it easier for private citizens to get guns?
Okay, I went over that earlier, too. That's the Second Amendment. What I'm going to do...
I apologize. I just got on.
Oh, no problem. No problem. But what I got in mind and what I will do is, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment myself. So what I would do, I'm going to enact the right of our citizens for our state to protect themselves at home, business, and public places. So therefore, you'll be allowed to enact
what Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi have. It's called the Stand Your Ground Act.
Yeah, not the Stand Your Ground Act, but I'm gonna act so they can carry weapons and they can protect themselves. Right now, it's hard to protect yourself in a home if you have a gun that's unregistered. I don't care if you have a gun that's unregistered. You're still in your home, that's fine. But out in public, your gun needs to be registered so we'll know that you have a gun and you're carrying it in public. But for a stand your ground, I won't go that far. Stand your ground, everybody that's common sense don't stand their ground. If you get attacked, you need some kind of way to protect yourself and your family. Yeah. So,
you know, and the only problem I have with that, you know, being that it's New York, would you want somebody with Rosie O'Donnell's mentality to pack a .44 Magnum?
It don't matter. I can tell you this. If everybody's carrying a gun, I know the crime rate will be down. You're going to think three or four times before you attempt, because everybody's carrying guns. The crime rate will basically fall to nothing. Because you have
I'm all about the Second Amendment. But when you enact this type of law, you have to be very, very careful, because you will have people who have never, ever handled a firearm in their life going to academy, going to
training,
and you will. You're gonna talk about some misguided missiles flying around. I've seen this happen. I've seen trained people panic fire. Train people, break into a panic and go to fire. If you do this, you're going to have to make some type of training program mandatory.
It's mandatory, like the other states. You have to go to the train. You have to go to the range for so many hours or so many days, and before you can get your permit, that's mandatory.
Yeah. So I got another caller. Let me bring him in here. Hey, caller, how you doing? Welcome to the show. 864 error code. Hello, caller. They'll probably speak here in a minute. Hello, but you know, I like your ideas. They're pretty well thought out and everything. Are you going to work on infrastructure there in New York as well, or bring the infrastructure up, or?
Yeah, infrastructure is like I was telling you about the Hyperloop and about the privatizing of the state business, such as the rail system, the tunnels. I want to get private companies to come in and do our tunnels and then I want the union to lay the rail or do the electrical work. So I want to split it between both. That way to cut the cost off. We just spent $3 million.
Yeah, well, that's one thing you hit the nail on the head right there. Unions, they need to go. They need to get out. They need to run them out. That is what ruins every city. That's what ruined the trucking industry to this day.
But I'm a union
to this day. The Teamsters Union. The Teamsters Union ruined the trucking industry. And it snowballed into a bunch of bullshit regulations that we have to follow. And it's nothing more than a money pit for states and the federal government to rob our pockets. And it's all because of the Teamsters Union started all of this mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth. But anyway, you know, and stuff. So what are your other future plans that, you know, thinking further? That's your first year. What about your second year?
My plans is to remove people off welfare. We have too many people on welfare. I don't mind helping people, but we pay $19.8 billion a year in welfare. All these able-bodied people is going to be mandatory, and I want businesses to report to my office that I'm going to establish in the governor's mansion when jobs are open. And when those jobs come open, I'm going to pair the people that's on food stamps and welfare to those jobs. If they don't have training, I will pay for their training to get trained so they can work these jobs. It will be less money spent than continuously take care of these folks month after month and years after year, 30 years sometimes. I'd rather pay for their training.
Okay, what we want, the American nation wants, if you become governor, will you order the release of Anthony Weiner's laptop computer?
that would be something.
Please say yes, Dirk.
That would be
right.
I better not say yes because Hillary Clinton may be listening. I don't want to commit suicide by shooting myself twice in the back of the head.
Right. Well, hey, if you remember, Derek, we're the ones that exposed Uranium One, and we're still alive, so, you know.
Yeah, but look, I'm in arms reach of Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The thing is, the reason I'm asking these questions, the whole country keys off of the scope of New York and California. They set the standard for the entire United States. I don't know how this happened. Okay. If New York is going to set the standard for the United States of America, it should set a standard where they enact a state constitutional right for the protection of children against sex traffickers. If you get caught sex trafficking a child, if you get caught molesting a child, automatic life in prison. You go in walking, and you come out in a casket.
I agree with that 100%. Nothing worse than crimes against children. They cannot defend themselves.
Where states mess up, they give out, okay, such as armed robbery in the state of Louisiana. Armed robbery carries a maximum of 99-year sentence in Louisiana. But that is no parole, no probation, no suspended sentence. But they leave out no pardon. No pardon. You see, when the law needs to be amended, no parole, no probation, no pardon, no suspended sentence. That way, some bleeding heart liberal governor can't come behind you and say, it was the little girl's fault because she was wearing tight shorts that she got raped by this 50-year-old man. So I'm going to give him a pardon. You know, that's bullshit.
Correct.
You know, that needs to be added to the life sentence. Life without parole, probation, suspended sentence, or pardons.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, my plans for New York will turn this state around in a good year and a half or 2 years because what I like about this state, what I like about what the liberals and Democrats have done, they First of all, I don't like the not recall. You can't recall people. That need to be put back in. Second of all, I like the thing that they did with that line item veto. So I love that, because anything that I like, they'll try to attach something else to it for me to sign. It won't work because I can scratch right through it, and I still can sign it. And I love that. I would use that to my advantage, the line item veto, and I would go straight to work. In a year's time, I had everything just up and running. Due to their policies. I use their policies against them.
Right, right. But I bet you if President Trump pushed for the line item veto in his office, all of a sudden it would disappear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've got a caller here. Let's see here. Hey, caller, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, you got any questions for Derek you want to ask, or let us know where you're from?
Yeah, sir, I sure do. I sure have one, please.
Go ahead.
You know, in New York City, there's so many vets laying their butts on the ground, and so many illegals in the public housing. What is Derek going to do about that?
Yeah, we discussed that earlier also, and I was saying that, you know, not one illegal will I support, because they are in the hood housing. Our veterans are out on the street. Our police, our veterans, our citizens come first. I don't have zero for any illegal, because you don't belong here. You're taking jobs. You're taking housing. You're taking everything from our citizens.
And I need my restoration money.
You're taking everything from our citizens.
All right, all the free handouts, you know, that they get. So that's the other thing I was going to ask, Derek. What about
but,
these free?
But we forgot about the crime. We forgot about the crime that they bring.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Exactly.
The poor vets laying in the 20-degree weather, and the illegals are laying up in 80-degree beds.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Okay. You see, here's the thing people forget. How can these poor, not wearing any shoes, torn up T-shirts, stained pants, cut off pants, you know, raggedy clothes, how are they going to take your job? They don't speak any English. They can't read or write. Hey, guess what? Guess what? This trash has got to eat, doesn't it? Starvation is a hell of a motivator to kill somebody for their wallet.
It is. Yep. Yep, it is. They got to survive.
Yeah, but they find a way to get money. I mean, I reckon it's steal, rob, cheat, whatever.
Como,
yeah.
Come in, bring us your MS-13s, bring us your drug dealers, bring us your child sex traffickers.
Exactly.
Come to New York, we'll have a blast.
We want them. Exactly. We want them. But these people are blind. They have a Satan delusion on them. I mean, they actually think they are doing right, I believe. But it's up to us to turn them out.
I tell you what. You want to become a radical? Take away that executive immunity from elected officials and let them be accountable for the things that they say.
Need be.
Let them be liable for what they say. Don't let them hide behind executive immunity anymore.
Correct.
Let them, you know, just like AOC, okay? Oh, they were drinking out of toilets and everything else. All right, every Border Patrol agent should be able to sue her ass for defamation of character.
Yep.
Yep.
And slander.
Yep. Well, you know, I live near that border, and I can tell you that is false, because a lot of the pastors that I know, a lot of people that I know that went down there personally right after she did, called her out. That called her out on it.
We have a detention center in Louisiana, and it has the same setup as they do. These government detention centers have to be uniformed, you know. So in case something, if one thing breaks at another detention center, they can call that and say, hey, do you have this such and such part for this toilet or whatever? Yeah, sure. We'll FedEx it over there to you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have to be uniformed. Okay? And what they are talking about. I talk to Border Patrol agents all the time. I see them at the sheriff's office all the time. We drink coffee and we shoot the shit and everything else. And the thing is, what they tell them in Espanol is that the water is on the back of the toilet where the sink is.
Yeah.
Okay?
Just like a jail.
And, and I mean, you know, and these toilets, you know, that you're seeing, these things are $1,000 a piece, believe it or not.
More.
You know, they're not stainless. They're not stainless steel. They're not stainless steel anymore. They're made out of a material called Mynell.
Okay.
And the reason they're made out of Mynell is so they can't be kicked off the wall, torn up, and bent up and made into knives. It's a very, very tough metal because it's used in all the prison systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they tell them in Espanol, the water is on the back of the toilet. Not to drink out of the toilet. That was
right.
A blatant lie. That was a blatant lie.
Yep.
Well, this is just part of what they do.
Right. Oh, hey, I hate to do this, but we got to go on a fast 10-minute break, so you guys hold on. We'll be right back. We'll start the second hour of the show, and Lucretia should probably be joining us.
I'm going to step on out of here. I've got to go count my reparation money tonight.
Oh, man. Okay, what is your name, sir?
All right.
What is your name,
Tom Wilson.
What is your name, Tom Wilson,
here in South Carolina.
Okay, stop over talking to him, Joseph. I can't hear his name.
Tom Wilson's my name, sir.
Tom. All right, Tom. All right. Thank you very much.
I'm a traveling man.
Oh, you're a traveling man. I'm a traveling man, too. I'm a truck driver.
Yeah, I'm a traveling man to
you're
eastward.
You're always traveling man.
That's right. Derek, come help me count my reparation money.
We'll be back shortly in about 10 minutes.
Hey, y'all be good.
Have a good night. I'm going to be listening.
1 peso, 2 peso, 3 peso, 4 peso.
Yeah. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, and that's all I know. Y'all be good. I'll be listening.
The only Spanish I know is adios, motherfucker.
Yeah,
right,
rice
and
beans and burritos.
Oh,
y'all be good.
I know Pinche Madre.
Yeah. Be good.
But anyway, we'll be back here in about 10 minutes, so you guys hang on there. And for your callers, if you'd like to call in, that's listening, the number is 917-889-3890. So we are taking calls. If you'd like to talk to Derek, you're more welcome to. So we'll be back in about 10 minutes, so you hang in there.
Okay, I'll be back.
Petro,
all right.
I'm going to hang up. Petro
Masse, didn't
he
put back up sacks for Santana?
Here we go.
Get up that great big deal of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of the brotherhood of man, or whatever that means. Into a crisis times when I'm lying in bed to do, get it all out. And I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? feel still done to get us back. Great big hula of hope for a destination.
That I am, but there's things going on that make me mad to the core. I gotta work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the streets, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. They tell our kids to just say no, then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go, slaps him on his wrist, and he turns him back out on the town. If I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up high and let them swing till the sun goes down. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Better watch where you go, remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Yeah, I'm the kind of man wouldn't harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you, but I darn sure will. So if you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on by. As far as I'm concerned, there ain't no excuse for the raping and the killing and the child abuse. And I got a way to put a end to all that mess. You just take them rascals out in the swamp, put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Yeah, the good book says, so I know it's true. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go, remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Watch where you go, remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man.
Second hour of the Mega News Nation with myself, William Bernard, and Christian Hughes, Burgess Baggus, and Russell Hood, and our special guest, Mr. Derek Gibson, all the way from New York, as we are helping to jumpstart his campaign a little early on the radio show. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 917-889-3890. Welcome back to the show, guys. I hope you enjoyed that little break and everything. Virgil, do you have more questions you'd like to ask Mr. Gibson?
Hold on. Let me get back on my headset.
All right.
I was finishing my supper during the break. you know, Mr. Gibson, a lot of your plans sound good for New York, you know, but you know you're setting yourself up for an uphill battle with all of this. You know, you're really setting yourself up. Because basically, if you get elected governor, you're going to be in the same position as President Trump. You're going to be on an island by yourself, basically. And you're going to have to fight everything in the world. I mean, you know, if you're going to do that, you know, God bless you. God bless you. I'm just telling you, sir, you know, these people fight dirty, so you're going to have to fight dirty back. There's no such thing as a fair fight anymore. And
right.
Take it. Take it. Take it from a retired Marine, sir. You fight to win.
Thank you for your
you know,
thank you for your welcome, sir. And I'm very aware that, but I am a man of faith, and I know with God anything is possible, and it will happen. I'm very aware. Like, I'm going to win the race. I'm very aware of all that what you're saying, but I'm not afraid to tackle nothing because take David and Goliath. Okay, that's what it'll be like. And it's going to be progress, and I have a lot of support here in New York. I have lots of – you'll be surprised. I have a lot of support here for you. But we're going to get it done. It's my time. It's our time. It's conservative and Republican time. It's our time. It is here. So we're going to do it. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of any challenge. And you say, I know this slip. Let me tell you what the guy said today. And say, I don't know whether you qualify, brother, to be to run for governor, because you have to be a lying, two-faced, double-dealing, low-life with no morals, no character, and have total respect for your country and all of its citizens. He said, but since you don't have any of them qualifications, I vote for you anyway.
Right.
Well, the thing is, sad but true. Sad but true.
Yeah, correct.
You know, I'm gonna ask you a question. Who is more dependable, a dishonest person or an honest person?
Oh Lord,
that's a good question. That's a good one.
That's a great one. It's past a good one. We have to think about that one.
All right, I'm gonna explain to you. A dishonest person is more dependable than an honest person. You can always depend on a dishonest person to be dishonest. But you can never depend on an honest person to always be honest.
Right.
Wow.
So the point is, you're jumping into the snake pit. There's going to be times where you're going to have to make a deal with the devil. You're going to have to make a deal with the devil to get what you want done. But it's all part of the game.
Me and Satan don't get along, but I told you, we got line item veto. So the deal, a lot of the dealing is cut out because of the line item veto. So that keeps you from having to really deal. You can basically get what you want, and the Democrats did that on purpose. So they wouldn't have no confrontation. So therefore, I'm going to use their weapon against them. Like this is a double-edged sword.
Well, one of the things I was concerned about, and I was thinking about this earlier before I was going to ask you, is what if, you know, several of the mob members come up to you and try to bribe you? How would you handle that?
I don't take bribes. So, I mean, if you carry yourself like that, we'll come to you. But the way
Don Vito could come up to you with a deal offer you can't refuse.
I can't be bought. Yeah. I can't be bought. And if you carry yourself a certain way, people are not going to approach you like that. If you carry yourself, they know better. So, I better not approach him.
Well,
you
right.
Stand on, if
sometimes,
stand on principle.
Sometimes you're going to have to make a deal with the devil, my man. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to make a deal with the devil.
I hear you. I'm not making any deal with the devil.
Right.
It's common practice in every phase of life. I have to make deals with the devil myself.
I heard
you know
that.
to put money in my pocket to get what I want done. And you're going to have to. It's all about favors. It's all about favors, my man. It's all about favors.
If you take corporate money, of course.
But there is, there's a line. You know, there's a line drawn in the sand. You know, maybe you can help somebody get, you know, that's having problem with building permits, with this, with that, with the other, you know, and just minor little things like that. Nothing major. I mean, you know, don't take $5 million to pardon the head of the Gambino crime family. You know, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
You know, but there are going to be times where you're going to have to make little deals with the devil to get things done. I mean, President Trump, he's a good president. He's done a lot of things that I disagree with, but his downfalls, his accomplishments far outweigh his downfalls. But do you think he got $7 billion in the bank for being a choir boy? Let's think about that. You know,
it's not,
he's made his deals with the devil.
It's not my job to judge him dissect him, so I'm not going to say nothing about that. It's not my job to do that. I know he's a blessed man. I know he's a blessed man. I know that. I know God got his hands on him. Whatever he done did in the past, what he did in the past, what he's doing now is what counts. So that's what I'm looking at. I don't care about how he got his money back.
You see,
I don't care about none of that stuff in the past. I just care about doing the
right
thing going forward.
As Jesus said, you can make deals with the devil and you can still go to heaven by what Jesus said. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
Correct.
Give to God what belongs to God.
Exactly. Correct. That's it. That's his word. But you got to stand on principles. All I can say about that, you have got to stand on principles.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you take ten, all right, let's just say you take $10,000 under the table. Okay. But instead of putting that $10,000 in your pocket, you go drop it at the collection plate, at the food bank, at the church, or whatever. Now, did you commit a sin? Did you break the law? Well, you know, you robbed Peter to feed Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and in some cases, you are going to be put in that situation. I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's why I brought that up.
You.
Like, how would you handle that situation? You know, because I've seen it happen to a lot of good people. You know,
exactly. You can do in New York, you can go down to Texas and talk those people into building a paste factory up there in New York. And that way people, when they look at their pecan sauce, they'll look on there and say, New York City, and they won't hang the cook. It'll be paste pecan sauce.
Like that commercial. Like that old commercial.
I love that commercial. New York City, get the rope.
Get the rope.
Yeah, but back to what you were saying, I am not open to none of that, and I know how to approach that. I know Satan's temptation when it comes. I know about all of that. I am beyond that. Maybe if I was earlier age or something like that, I could be done like that. But at my age now, it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I know right from wrong, and I'm going to uphold right regardless. So, I mean, what people like or not, I'm going to uphold right. I'm going to stand on the truth, and that's it. But take it
right. You see. And
my conscience is not going to be clear, and it will bother me from now.
Also outrageousness wakes people up. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say you are on the campaign trail, you're going to get up on stage and you're going to make a speech. Well, instead of a necktie, you wear a noose around your neck and you tell everybody this is the Jesse Smollett look.
Oh yeah, I mean,
you know.
But you know what?
And you know, haters. You know, and another message for you, haters. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm bringing my own rope. Feel free to try and hang me.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, and I told buddy, I got a young lady that's running on my ticket. It's a lieutenant governor. She's a white lady, and she lives in Buffalo, and she worked with the media. So she's gonna be my lieutenant governor, and I was explaining that to her. I said, when we come out to speak, I want you to come on stage and tell a joke. Get the crowd to laugh, and that's what we do. And just like you were just saying about the just smiling and all that, that's just what I do. Tell them to laugh. That's how you get people's attention, and you keep their attention. You know, and you're funny. And that's how President Trump rallies turn out so good. I mean, he's spectacular with that.
Right.
The joke you should start out with is that, well, I was invited to a luncheon, and Hillary Clinton was there, and she bumped into me, and you know what she said to me? Pardon me.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, buddy.
But, you know, I'm actually amazed because I am seeing so many good people that I know that I've met in Atlanta that's actually running for office. And when I heard that you were running for governor, at first I thought it was mayor, but when I heard you were running for governor, I was like, wow, that's a big step for you. You know, because our friend Marjorie Greene is running for Congress, the 16th district up there in Atlanta, Georgia. Then we got Lucretia. Lucretia's running for office
and
up there. Plus,
you need to remember, when they come out and they call you a racist,
correct.
Remember this. The NAACP says black people cannot be racist.
That's right.
See, you got to throw that shit back at them. You got to throw that shit back at them.
I tell them, you know what I tell them? I tell them I'm a black white supremacist.
Right. Well, I've been called a white supremacist. I've been called everything in a book, and I'm like, do I look white to you? Well, you surely don't look brown. I go, well, I am half Mexican and part Indian. I go, you know, so I'm not a white supremacist because I'm a Trump supporter, you know. And I've been called everything in a book, so, you know, but I shock them when I come back with that. I tell them, I go, oh, and I've been called a cracker too, you know, and everything. But I throw it back at them, says, I'm Spanish Indian. I'm not no damn cracker. I'm lightly sauteed brown on the edge.
That's right. So when you run up on Joseph, don't shake his hand. Just put your hand in the air and say, how, S.A.?
No, we just say, what's up, Bato?
Y'all are hilarious.
Right, right. But, you know,
you ought to hear me on here after I've had a few drinks.
Oh man, I know where you're going now. Then I'm about to come down there and have a few drinks with you.
Oh, believe me, he's made our guest actually mad at him a couple of times over here, okay?
So, yeah.
I'm just so glad to see a lot of good people running and everything. And I think we're going to flip the House. I think we'll get both the House and the Senate. I really think so. And after all this, you know, and everything. But
yeah, I believe it.
But we've been predicting. I want to see what you think about this. We've talked about this on the show since the elections and stuff, is that, you know, now that we're getting closer to the main election and everything, we pretty much don't see, it's a 50-50 chance, but we don't see that election actually happening because the Democrats are going to do something stupid. So what's your thoughts on that? Do you see the same things like we do, or that the election is going to be called off or something, you know, because they are going to do something stupid.
I don't think it's gonna go that far. They continue to do something ignorant more and more every day, but I don't think it's gonna reach that point.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't believe that.
Well, let me tell you something, sir. Learned this a long time ago. I learned this a long time ago, and we learned it the hard way in Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
Never underestimate your opponent.
The minute or second
you underestimate your opponent,
right,
you just lost 50% of the battle.
Apparently, you can never do that. I don't care who it is, you never do that. Yeah,
right.
Never.
Well, on this show, though, Derek, we were like way up there in our percentage ratings, but we've called every shot on this show, and that's what we feel. That's how we feel. We see it going in that direction.
I brought this up to the guy that's going to run for governor in New Mexico. If I were you, the first thing I would do before I had my name put on the ticket, I would go voluntarily submit to a voice stress polygraph test and take this thing at least three times on all of the questions. Have you ever sexually assaulted a woman or a child? Because I guarantee you, brother, that is the first thing they are going to come out with. I wouldn't be surprised if Stormy Daniels comes out and says that you grabbed her on her ass or something.
Hey,
right. At a strip club or something.
Right.
The environment we in, you're right.
Right.
So I would have that taken. I would go on the Maury Povich show and take it on national television that you have never sexually assaulted or you have never molested a child, because I'm going to tell you right now, that is the first thing that is going to come up and it's going to come out.
Well, I got a clip.
I guarantee you.
I got a record on that, so I don't have to worry about none of
that. I'll bet you dollars against pesos, brother.
Yeah, they send false people out just like they did Kavanaugh, all of them.
Yep, I was
out.
Just going to say that. Yep, that's true.
Yep.
Our caller's back, so let me bring him back on.
Yep.
Hey, caller.
How often
back
do y'all come on here? Once a week? Once a month?
We come on Mondays, Tuesday nights, and Thursday nights, and at the same time around about 7, 9 standard time.
Okay, well, I will look for you
three,
every time.
Three times a week, unless the midget strippers are in town, then we take that night off.
Yep.
Me and Derek can come and join y'all then.
There you go. That's
hey,
right.
That's what's missing, Derek. You need midget pole strippers.
I'm kidding, that brother. Would be real nice for my platform. Put that on my resume.
Oh, let me tell you something, brother. I was at Camp Lejeune. There was a strip club just outside of Camp Lejeune, and it was called the Driftwood. And every third Wednesday of the month, they had the midget pole dancers. And let me tell you something. Until you have had a lap dance from a midget stripper standing on a Velcro-covered milk crate, you ain't had shit, brother. I'm going to tell you that right now. You ain't experienced shit.
Oh, man.
That's been our key thing on this show is midget strippers.
I wish Russell was on here.
I don't know where he's at. He's been absent the last couple of nights. So, but anyway, Mr. Derek, you know, one of the other things I wanted to ask is if Diamond does go ahead, and you know, if we could change her mind and encourage her, would you have a place for her in New York, an office somewhere, or if she decides to do it?
Yes, she's in Midtown, and she was thinking about running against Maloney in the 10th district. And she was easy to beat Maloney, hands down. I just got discouraged yesterday and said, no, I don't want to do it. But I told her to reconsider. I wish she would reconsider because she definitely could win that seat. That would be a walk.
I'm going to
come to the city and get me a P.O. box where I can vote there.
You don't even need a P.O. box.
I'm going to move in and sleep in Derek's car.
And go vote. Yeah.
Just get you a bunch of paper mache and make you a fake headstone to put in a graveyard. Guarantee you'll get on the voters list.
I can do that too. Yeah, Derek can come water my grass.
Right.
He come pee on me once in a while.
Just kind of keep it green a little bit.
Yeah, keep it a little green. Guys, y'all have a good night. I'm gonna sit back here and I'm gonna listen to get off his stupid phone.
All right,
y'all have a good night.
Work. You too.
Yeah, I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Thank you for
right,
calling
thank
in.
You.
Thank you.
But anyway, we're just about near the show and everything. I was hoping that Christian would call in, but I think she is out of town or something. So, but she normally don't miss a Thursday night ever. So as you know, her mom's been sick and her mom is sick. She just going through some stuff with Dave's grandma and everything. So she's kind of got her hands tied. And stuff, but
maybe she took one for the team and took out Kamala Harris. Boy,
possibly. I was just going to say, you know, she was just recently up in D.C. at that convention up there and everything and stuff. But it's like I was saying, you know, we got a lot of good people running, a lot of people behind you, Derek, and everything too. So, and we're going to do. We'll do everything we can. You know, you got my support up here. And I was going to tell you, I'll message you here in a little bit. But if you need help with your signs and stuff like that, I know a company that's pretty reasonable where I got my banners and stuff here in New Mexico. So if you need let me know, and I'll send you the number because they're not expensive at all and everything.
My site will be up in August.
Don't, forget,
and donate to my site, and then we can go from there with it. But they can also follow me at Derek Gibson on Twitter, DerekGibson23. That's at DerekGibson23 on Twitter.
Okay.
You know, and nothing says I think about you more, and I'm not being funny when I say this, nothing says I think about you more than a candidate that is willing to go out into the rural areas, no matter how remote, and knock
on
somebody's door and talk to them.
That is it. And I'm going to every county.
Because I goddamn guarantee you Cuomo ain't going to bring his fucking silver spoon mouth ass out there.
Right.
Oh, no.
Well, hey, I just now got this on my beast. I should know if you guys got it yet or not, but Omar's officially under investigation. They just announced it now, and she's on full investigation right now. So we'll see if she doesn't get unseated and everything. So, and it's over the
and
the
it's going to be behind because they're racist. They're racist.
Yep.
They're investigating this woman because she's black, and they're racist. It's Trump's white supremacy. You know,
well,
what it is. That poor little girl. They're picking on that poor little black girl.
What's getting me is everybody come over here and they identify people of color. I'd be like, get the hell out of here. Get out of here. They're using that. They're using the black people thing for themselves. Everyone that crossed over, all that long, silky, straight hair. I'm a black person. No, you're not. No, you're not. And you're not America. Yeah, and they take away from the original black
people. Let me tell you something. When I was young and I was working offshore in the Gulf of Mexico during the summertime, let me tell you what. I had a tan. I was blacker than Kunta Kinte. Okay? Pigmentation ain't got shit to do with it. It's your attitude and your moral compass that judges you as a decent or no good human being. Period.
Mm-hmm.
When you play the race card, anyone that plays the race card only oppresses themselves by their own ignorance and stupidity.
Yep, that's it.
Well, one of the things I was going to say is, you know, since he came out with that tweet, you know, I've been looking for it, and he never mentioned any names whatsoever. And for those four to come out and say he was talking about them, are they guilty with something or what, you know?
Hit dog holler is the old saying. Hit dog will holler.
Right. So hey, I just got
sir, if you can, I've tried to talk to several people. Maybe you can help me out. This woman that you know flies that rag flag and whatever. I call it tuberculosis. I can't pronounce her name, but the one that's got a mouth like a fish. Okay, could you help me out? Could you find Palestine on the map for me, please? Because I can't find it.
She seemed like she found it pretty good. She covered Israel up and put Palestine on top of it.
Right. This also came out. This is going to flip a lot of Democrats right now, but Trump's nominating Antonio Scalia for Labor Secretary, which is the late Judge Scalia. That's his son. He's gonna appoint him Labor Secretary.
Yeah,
you're gonna see a lot of heads explode on that one, you know, and everything. So I'm seeing a lot of news feeds coming out now. But
as for now, Scalia.
My Italian's not that great, so you know, but it's Scalia. But
your English ain't that fucking good either.
Oh, wow.
Neither is my writing.
Well,
but anyway, right. But anyhow, so I don't know. I just hope that you do win, and we're going to help you get there. We're going to do everything in our power. You know, we got a lot of supports out there, and we know a lot of powerful people up there that can help you get the support. And and everything, so you know, and like I said, I know you know Lucretia and you know Cherie and all them up there, and stuff, so and everything. And I tell you, I was thinking the other day too, you know, God's got me in this circle for a reason, you know, and I think it's to bring you guys out to expose you guys on the air and give you all the publicity you guys can get and everything to help you out. Because, you know, the small circle, it's just funny the way how it leads. Because when I met DJ, I met him in Atlanta. Him and I became instant friends. And he was up here about a week ago. And he loved it out here so much, he wants to move out here now. And I was like, no, brother, you don't want to do that. You don't want to move out here, you know. And everything. He was like, well, I'm going to move out here, and you're going to move in with me, you know. But I didn't realize, I didn't know you guys were related. So it's a small circle, you know. And I'm like, it's a small world, you know, and everything. So, but I told him earlier last night that I was going to interview you and everything. He was all surprised. And he's going to get interviewed because he got recognized by a bunch of Q supporters and everything for that photo. I sent Virgil that photo of DJ. I was like, what are the odds of that, Derek?
Yeah, for real. He's right there.
You know,
he goes in the White House with President Trump. You sit on stage with President Trump. They're close, so that's that.
I know. I texted him the other day, and he said he was having lunch with the president. I was like, "Are you putting me on?" He's like, "Nope."
Oh no.
I was like, "Well, tell him I said hello."
seriously, be right there with him.
But anyhow, we're gonna go ahead and close the show here in a little bit and everything. And Mr. Derek, we'd like to have you come back on maybe next weekend. We could do another show. And everything, and we'll just keep bringing you back on and exposing you, because we do have a lot of listeners out there, and we are, you know, worldwide. This goes all over the world. So, and everything.
I was glad
to
come back on the show, and I had fun. Y'all made me laugh.
We enjoyed you as well, and everything. We'll try to get Diamond on her, because we need to encourage her not to give up, and everything.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
And keep her going. So, and. Right. In fact, I have Lucretia. We'll get Lucretia and all them on her. She'll get the support there and everything.
Yeah,
so, you know, and stuff. Because I just love that girl to death and everything. When I first met her, we thought she was 14 years old, if you remember.
Everybody.
She said she was 26. So like, what? No way. You look like you're about 14.
Yeah. For real. She's 23, but everybody thinks you're on the age.
Yep.
He was doing with the SOS band. I don't know whether you're familiar with the SOS band or not, out of Atlanta, Georgia. So they were doing a concert. Yeah, okay, so they were doing a concert, and the police kept ID. I got to check your ID. You can't go in now. You said, let me see your ID. And she called that band, part of the band.
Right. My daughter-in-law is the same way. She looks like she's about 12, but she's actually 21, you know. So we get weird looks when her and my granddaughter are together. So it's like, you know. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and close the show. And we'll be back Monday night and everything. And Mr. Gibson, we appreciate you. And hopefully we got this campaign for you to the early jump start. And we'll be promoting you and everything. Just whatever you want promoted, let me know, and we'll put it out there on the air for you. You know, everything, too.
I appreciate it. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
You, too. You have a good one.
Get in touch with us anytime, 24/7. We'll try to help you out as much as we can.
Will do. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Virgil, we're going to go ahead and close the show, and we're going to call it a little early night and everything. So we've got about 15 minutes left anyway. So is there anything you want to say before we close, or?
Yes, I'd just like to say to the squad, to the four whores, fuck you.
Took the words right out of my mouth. So, I you know, this is funny, brother, is that after, you know, they're still crying and griping, and they're the ones that, you know, were bullying Trump. Now that he called him out, you know, it's funny. But if he... You know, this is going to keep dragging out, this, you know, and everything, but we'll see how it plays out and stuff. But we will be back Monday night and everything, and we'll see what happens in the next couple of days and stuff. So, any predictions for the weekend?
I know the only prediction I got is it's going to be raining like hell, and I ain't going to be able to go ride my boat. So, I might have to sit at home. So,
we got a heat wave out here. It was 105 today out here, so we felt it. so and everything.
Shit. I'd put a sweater on. I'd put a sweater on, man.
Right. So anyway, we'll go ahead and close the show now and everything. So everybody, have a good weekend and stuff. So we look for you Monday night. We're going to be safe out there, all right?
All right, you will.
Take her home.